It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. According to the last United States Census, the number of people who identify as a mix of races grew by a larger percentage than people who reported a single race. This impacts our society on a number of levels, including businesses now recognizing the need for their products to appeal to multicultural consumers. Joining us for a look at what a multicultural approach means for the future of business is Vinitha Swaminathan, Professor of Business Administration at the University of Pittsburgh's Katz Graduate School of Business. Vinitha Swaminathan, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me on the show, Paul.
You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm, on Twitter at @ESSPGH. Vinitha, have we truly reached the point where companies in the United States and right here in Pittsburgh need to market to a multicultural audience? And if so, why?
I would agree that we are, in fact, reaching a point where we have to deal with an increasingly multicultural consumer landscape. The reason being that just the statistics, the United Nations, for example, estimated that worldwide about 232 million people live outside their home countries. Now, when you think about who a multicultural is, it's somebody who identifies with more than one culture. So taking the example of United States, let's say somebody coming here from Mexico or an individual coming here from China who has spent some time living in the United States begins to identify not only with their home culture, which is Mexico or China respectively, but also with the culture here in the U.S. And the U.S. Census, it's estimated that by 2050, one in three American is going to be a Hispanic American. Add to that the percentage of Asian Americans, which is going to be another 10%. You're looking at a very large demographic trend, and therefore, I believe companies and products have to take into account this trend in how they approach the consumer.
And what does that mean? I mean, you would think the obvious thing would be multilingual, that there would be marketing signage ads that are in Spanish or Chinese or, whatever language it happens to be. Does it go beyond that? I would think that it would.
It is not just enough for you to take a product or an ad that has been created in English and maybe translated into Spanish. That used to be how we approached this particular demographic.
Why is that not enough? Why is it not enough to just put Spanish or another language on your box and call you and say, hey, look at us, we're multicultural?
If you think about who the multicultural is, let me give you an example of, let's say, a Mexican-American family consisting of a 28-year-old male married to, let's say, a 26-year-old female. They have two young children. They wake up in the morning. They speak Spanish. They perhaps eat Latino foods. They perhaps listen to Spanish radio or watch Spanish TV. They go into the workplace, and then for the rest of the day, they're indistinguishable from somebody who is not a multicultural. And then when they come back home, they again sort of embrace their home cultural identity. So this type of individual clearly has a very unique set of behaviors and customs and needs that have to be addressed by the products and brands or the services that companies provide them. And so just taking existing products or ads and tweaking them to appeal to this particular type of consumer who's very unique because they're continually trying to juggle their two identities throughout the day is absolutely not going to work. And so you need a different approach, a more unique set of strategies to appeal to this particular demographic.
How can this be done without alienating the less multicultural consumer? Let's say I'm someone who speaks English. I've been with people that when they see an ad or signs in Spanish, for example, just bristle. And the thinking is, and I'm sure you've heard it, Vinitha, is, you know, why aren't these folks learning to speak English? Why are we catering to them? So I put that question to you. Why are we catering to them? From a business standpoint, it would seem to make sense, though.
I think if you, again, think about where we've been with marketing to a bicultural population and where it, how that thinking has evolved over the years, it used to be just, as you said, taking an ad and translating it into Spanish used to be sufficient. But marketing has become a lot more sophisticated in that now the companies that do it really well start with a customer insight. They start with saying, okay, here's a particular group that has a particular and unique set of needs, and how can my products and brands therefore appeal to them? So if you want to do it right, you have to have, you can do one of two things. You can start with your existing portfolio of products and brands and say, does what I offer to the mainstream population allow me to change the existing product a little bit so I can then appeal to the multicultural population without coming off as pandering to that particular group or demographic.
And so changing the product? Or
so, for example, Hershey's introduced a white Hershey's Kisses that was meant to appeal to the tastes of the Hispanic American audience. And that went well. They were able to do it within the portfolio of their current brands. So if the new product or ad strategy doesn't conflict with what you have going on already, you don't have the risk of alienating your mainstream population. However, if you find, for example, Hershey's acquired a spicy candy called Pelon Pelorico, which was a Mexican candy. Now, clearly, none of the existing Hershey products could be tweaked, perhaps, to include a spicy flavor. It just wouldn't work. And so the second strategy, therefore, is to add a new product that is exclusively meant for a particular demographic, in which case, again, you don't risk the alienation of the mainstream audience because consumers understand that certain products are meant for their particular needs and wants, and so they will not identify with the products that are meant for a different demographic, perhaps.
Don't we all kind of like the same stuff, though? I mean, wouldn't the white Hershey Kiss, is that what it was? Wouldn't that be just as appealing to a traditional American English speaking audience as it would to an Hispanic
audience? Which is why I think they were able to fold it into their existing product. However, I've tested the spicy candy that Hershey acquired from Mexico in my class, and half the students loved it and the other half didn't like it at all. And so when you have a specific flavor like that, that is meant to suit the taste of a particular type of demographic, then yes, you do risk having half of your population not like it, in which case you need to go out and introduce a new product, identify highly targeted approaches to marketing it so that it doesn't sort of clash with your existing values and ideals that the rest of the product portfolio that you have seems to suggest.
Are the marketing approaches being siloed? In other words, I eat Hershey's candy and want to support a regional business. So and I think everybody the world over loves Hershey's stuff products, but I'd never heard of the spicy candy. So is some of this stuff being done, marketed to audiences and the other audience, part of the consumer audience doesn't know anything about it?
Well, it could be, or it could be that the niche product really becomes so popular that it bleeds over and becomes mainstream. So you can think about sriracha as a flavor, for example. It used to be a very niche flavor that only certain kinds of people liked, but over time it became absorbed into the mainstream culture and has become mainstream. And so something that could start off as a niche product that's marketed to a specific audience could also become mainstream and have a broader appeal. And we see a lot of that taking place with marketing to certain target audiences, that the products become extremely successful and therefore have a broader appeal over time.
One thing I've noticed is when I'm on the computer and I'm looking at stuff and I will browse and look at videos or reports or whatever it happens to be, and there's always that ad attached. And a couple of times a Spanish-speaking ad has come up, and I know a few Spanish words, but I don't speak Spanish, so what I noticed is an ad, the same ad for the same product came up with different Spanish-speaking actors. When they do those ads, are they changing the storyline somewhat? What is going on there besides the obvious changes?
That's a really interesting point that you're making. A good marketer would be careful not to provide conflicting identities to their product. And so in a series of studies that we ran as part of a research project, we found that when an extremely iconic brand, take Levi's or Budweiser, tries to incorporate, like you said, Spanish language advertising into their brand, it wasn't seen as very effective because that clashes somehow with the identity of what the brand is. And so even a bicultural might, in fact, like to go and buy products that are very quintessentially American because it appeals to the American part of their identity. And so for those brands, it doesn't make sense necessarily to embrace a strategy that appeals to a broader audience. However, if you have a brand whose values and associations and key identity and value propositions gel with the intended demographic, and the intended demographic is buying it for that reason, then it makes sense. And so you have to be careful as a marketer not to send conflicting signals. You have to stick to your positioning, whatever that may be, so that you sort of are not in the situation where a consumer thinks that the brand is for them, and they go to the website and they find out, well, you know, you promised that this is going to be targeted to me, but then what I find on your website is not necessarily the case.
Well, what I'm wondering, too, is, you know, there's so much psychology involved in advertising. You're smiling because, you know, and you're nodding because you know exactly what I'm talking about. And a lot of us don't understand, you know, all of what goes into the psychology. But we know that we're being there's the message and there's the massage, as McLuhan used to say about, you know, what is it that's going to trigger my reaction to want to go out and buy this product? Are there different triggers, you know, amongst the different cultures?
Well, absolutely. And you think about it, we talk a lot about in marketing customer insights, right? What is it that this customer really wants? And how is that unique to this particular group of consumers? So it's not gimmicky. It's not something that's very superficial. It's really deep insights. And if I can generate an insight about a particular demographic, can I then take that insight and convert it into a product or a brand that this consumer is going to say, wow, I really like that. It's something that's intended for me. So if you're trying to market to a multicultural group, for example, you start with understanding what is specific to their particular demographic that's unique that I don't offer currently. So, for example, there was a case study of hair products, right? And so, as we know, different ethnic groups have different hair types. And so you might, in fact, think about really understanding what kinds of products work well with different kinds of styles that people try to work with their hair. And so when you do that, you really come up with innovative products and brands that somebody is going to say, wow, you know, this marketer really understands me, and therefore I'm going to go out and purchase this product.
Right, but there's also those cultural things, like in the United States, and a lot of it goes back to the traditional ads that are aimed at, you know, what were referred to over the decades, what has been referred to as a housewife, and there's always this sort of, and also with men, you know, hygiene, there's always this sort of guilt trip that they're playing on, this shame. They're shaming you into buying something. You know, the woman is lamenting the fact that her house smells like it has fish odor, or there's some lingering food odor we've got to spray and get it out of here. You know, when my mother-in-law comes over, I'm going to be embarrassed. Or the guy can't go to work smelling bad, as you know, his armpits have to smell like roses. Do other cultures worry about that the way we do? And if not, then is there a different approach taken to them?
You know, just to answer the broader point, I would agree that different types of cultures emphasize different things. And for example, there's a lot of talk in the Hispanic American cultural group about the importance of family and relationships. And so, and not to say that everybody else, you know, doesn't, but there is a specific way in which they interact with their family. They sit around at the table, multiple generations sit together, have long conversations. And so when you understand that, when you understand how different groups interact somewhat differently and incorporate that into your marketing, I think that's when you create a win-win from a customer standpoint.
Maybe somebody's happy with that food smell.
Exactly.
So it's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we're talking with Vinitha Swaminathan. She's professor of business administration at the University of Pittsburgh's Katz Graduate School of Business. We have a few minutes left with her. If you have a question, if we've sparked your interest on this topic at 412-246-2002, that's 412-246-2002. Email esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh. Can all products and businesses become multicultural in their marketing?
Well, some of the research that I've done with my colleague, which recently resulted in a publication, showed that we were trying to understand whether all brands, for example, would do well when they incorporated bilingual advertising. So bilingual advertising is when you have an English ad interspersed with, let's say, Spanish words. And so this sometimes people call the Spanglish. And so when you have a bilingual ad, does it work with all kinds of products and brands? And the short answer to your question is no. Sometimes, as I mentioned earlier in today's conversation, a brand might be positioned as a quintessential American iconic brand. And so for a brand like that, you don't necessarily have to move away from that positioning and start to embrace multicultural marketing. You would do fine just positioned the way you are, because even a multicultural person is purchasing you because they identify with the American identity that they're trying to portray.
What would be an example of that?
So Levi's compared to Gap. Levi's is seen as much more iconic American. Mm-hmm. Budweiser compared to Coors. Budweiser is seen as much more of an iconic American brand compared to Coors. And it's relative, but...
How did that happen?
We found, we did a lot of pretesting and amongst bicultural populations to see what brands would work better with bilingual ads than others. And so the answer to your question is not necessarily. So if you feel that your brand has a value proposition that is rooted in one identity or one culture, stick to that. But if you feel that you have a brand that can be expanded, that can appeal to a multicultural population through either new products, new flavors, sort of like we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. or advertising that embraces those themes, then by all means do that. So it's really, the answer to that really depends.
That makes sense. It's also interesting to hear that that Budweiser is considered the more iconic American beer than Coors, in spite of the advertising with Sam Elliott, you know, talking about Coors banquet beer, you know, and apparently that just isn't resonating enough with across culturally. Is it just a marketing approach, or does this need to be part of the DNA of the company?
Well, we teach our students in business school that the customer always comes first. So to the extent that the customer is changing and evolving and becoming more multicultural, I think every company has to at least consider how they can incorporate some element of this into their overall marketing. It may be that the answer is not with your current offerings. It could be that you have to go out, like Hershey did, and acquire a brand from outside that then would appeal to this population. Or it could be that your current products and brands could be modified sufficiently, taking into account customer insights, to appeal to this audience. Whatever the answer is, I guess overall, the broader point is that you do need to consider how your company is going to compete in a world that's increasingly multicultural.
Makes a lot of sense. And we've been talking about it with Vinitha Swaminathan. She's professor of business administration at the University of Pittsburgh's Katz Graduate School of Business. This has been just fascinating. Thank you so much for being here, and I'm sure that your students enjoy having you as a teacher.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show, Paul. It's been fun.
Coming up, the Penn State baseball team is spending Thanksgiving week in Cuba. We'll talk with John Affleck, who's taking a group of Penn State journalism students along about the significance of this trip. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.